This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher Skis. Hello, hello, hello. This is the Out of Bounds podcast. My name's Adam Jabber, and I'm here to tell you we're back, and we are not just back in the sense that I've taken a couple weeks off. I took a couple weeks off because, one, I was in Utah last week, kind of on a vacation, kind of doing interviews, a little bit of everything. But we're mostly back in the sense that we are no longer doing Zoom interviews. They're done, or at least I'm not. Maybe Adam X is, and the girls may do some Zoom interviews. I personally am done. I'm back to doing just regular in-person interviews. The audio sucks on the Zoom interviews, and I'm so much more excited to do an interview in person, as I think you'll be able to tell with this interview with Greta Eliason. Greta is an absolute legend in free skiing. She is a pioneer of women's free skiing, and I really, really enjoyed this conversation with her, because we talk a lot about what she's doing now too, not just what she has done, and what she wants to do going forward, because she's still got such a huge career in front of her. She's got so much that she can do to help the sport, to help the community. So we talk about that kind of thing. We talk about TikToks and all kinds of other stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. We are back, and I'm very excited. Before we jump into this episode, we have a couple quick sponsors, and the first one is Blizz Eyewear. Blizz makes performance, active style lifewear. They also make some lifestyle stuff as well, but the stuff that I've been wearing has been amazing. You can get different colors, swap lenses, swap the bottom halves, like the jawbone part. You can swap out, you can swap the top part. It's literally like you can put these things together like Legos. They're not made out of Legos. Just in case anyone's like, oh, are these sunglasses made out of Legos? No, they're not made out of Legos. They are real sunglasses with a performance lens, and they come in everything from clear to like a full-on dark, dark, dark lens. So, and all super interchangeable, and I've been having a blast on the bike and on the skis rocking these glasses. So it's nice to be able to see things when you're doing these activities. So Blizz Eyewear wants you to be able to see things going forward. And you can go to www.enjoywinter.com or blizzeyewear.com. And I will include all the links in the show notes. You can use promo code Out of Bounds. It might actually be Out of Bounds 30 for this episode, and save 30% off on your purchase. And I think that's a pretty smoking deal. So once again, save 30% off. Just use the link in the show notes. And then one more before we jump into this, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my friends at Cindy Saws. I actually got to ride bikes with these guys. Clay is the man. I had a ton of fun riding bikes with him in Salt Lake area. They are a sponsor for this episode. And if you want some of the best hot sauce that I've ever had, take a swig. Out of Bounds 15 saves you 15% off on the Cindy Saws website. If you can't tell, my allergies are killing me right now, and I'm trying to not just like leak all over my table here, and I know that's an image that maybe you don't need, but anyway, thank you to Clay, thank you to Cindy Saws for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Promo code Out of Bounds 15. They make three different send levels. The hot sauce is amazing. The hot one is like to die for. The week's end one is actually one of my favorites. It's just it's a nice little add-on to food, and I think that's what a lot of people want. A lot of people don't want to bleed from their eyes, and that's what the week's end one is. The hot one, honestly, it's like it's hot. It's pretty hot, but it's not like you're not gonna die. It's the taste is just so good. That's the point. Anyway, enough about hot sauce. I hope you guys enjoy that stuff. Try it out, please. Enjoy this episode with Greta Eliason. And once again, be sure to leave a review on iTunes, leave a review on wherever. I don't know. Tell people you like the show. Share the show on Instagram. Tag us and stuff. We'll share some content on the on the Out of Bounds page. Twitter, if you like Twitter. Twitter's out there, Out of Podcast. And that's my story for today. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Greta Eliason. Thanks. Bye.
Greta, tell people who you are. Tell people a little bit about yourself. And we'll go from there.
All right, Adam. My name is Greta Eliason, a.k.a. G-Baby. A.k.a. Greta G-Baby. Like feta. Not Gret. Not Greet. Say my name. Made a movie once. So people would say my name correctly.
That's awesome. That's a great intro. I don't think I've heard as good of an intro for someone's name and the pronunciation of someone's name ever.
Well, yeah. I don't know. It's just hard. Adam's probably easier, but Greta's hard. And I have the Norwegian spelling, so I'm actually a dual citizen, Norwegian and American. And I reside in Brighton, Utah.
Very cool. What's home mountain for you?
Solitude Mountain Resort.
Very cool. And obviously, you're a skier, you're a mom, you're a podcaster now. Like, what have you been up to lately? What has life been like? I mean, just tell people a little bit about yourself.
Well, first, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Of course.
I saw you had my really good friend, Taylor Brooke Lundquist, who is like, I don't even know what to say, but Taylor, you are just insane, insane. And she really opened my eyes again to like what skiing is and like my passion for skiing. Because the last couple of years, you know, I've been making these kids, these children, and I have two boys. It's been crazy, crazy life. But I want to come back to who I am, which is Greta, the skier.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing this last year. I signed with Armada Skis.
Okay.
Who I actually, they were my first sponsor when I was 15, 16 years old.
Yep.
And then I kind of parted ways. And then it's amazing how now I'm in my 30s and it's full circle and I'm back on Armada. It's amazing.
And you said you skied 115 days this year?
And this year I skied 115 days.
That's so crazy. Yeah. Like that's a ton.
I've never actually skied that many days. I don't think ever in like my career. Because I used to count.
Really?
I'm a big counter. Like just like athlete, like how many reps, how many spins, whatever I've done, how many days. And I think back in the day when I was like filming, competing at X Games, like traveling, you know, around, I think I was around 69, maybe 70, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think those were like full on years. But I think because I was going to school at the same time, traveling, you just don't get as many days. Where now I live right by the mountain.
Yep.
I've got a rail in my yard, so I can just like go out, slide my rail, watch my kids through the window, work on my tricks. So that's why I was able to get a lot of days this year.
That's right. And you still love it. Like you still enjoy skiing. Like, because that's another thing too, is people, they go in and out of enjoying it and it feels like work sometimes and it no longer feels like, but I mean, if you're skiing 115 days, you have to love it.
I've been skiing since I was 3 or 4 years old, and my mom still has this quote where I'm on the rope tow getting pulled up, and you know, we go for one run together. She's holding me between her legs, and then my brother goes by himself, and then I just like ski around and grab the rope, and I'm like, no, mama, I got it. I'm gonna do it myself. I'm gonna do it myself. And I'm like, whoa, like just so much confidence and just like so much drive to do this thing.
Yeah.
And I actually see it now with my youngest. He is just like me. We're like, I want to do it myself. Like everything. I'm like, no, you are going to fall. You're on top of the car. Like you're going to fall down. But he's just like, I'm going to do it myself. So skiing, it's always been my passion. Sports, but like, I don't know what it is. Being out in the mountains, the snow.
Yeah.
I listen to music when I ski. It's kind of like a dance. It's like, it's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah. That's awesome. And actually, speaking of the dance thing, I wanted to ask you, like you're on social media a bunch now. You're doing TikToks. What made you want to go and start using social media so actively? Because we were just talking a second ago and you were like, okay, like it kind of fell off the face of the earth for a little bit there. And now it seems like you're reinvigorated, I guess, on social.
Yeah. I think a lot of friends were just like, Greta, where are you? You know, what are you doing? You're not posting anymore. And I think just hearing those comments, I was like, oh, I really am not. But I was like way back in the day. Like I was one of the first people on Twitter.
Yeah.
I was on Facebook like way like at the start at the University of Utah. Like I had my, you know, college account because only college kids were able to be on it. So I've always been a part of it. But then what happened was I just decided to like focus on family, create a family. I have two kids now.
Yep.
And it was hard because I didn't want to be like looking at my phone the whole time when I'm watching this like baby grow. So I kind of took a step back where I was like, instead of looking at what my girl Marie Francois is doing in Canada, like amazing powder, shredding, snowboarding, I'm going to watch, you know, a little child do his first role or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then I had a friend that was like, what are you doing? You know, we just want to see stuff. We wanted to see you creating things again. And I was like, okay, what could I do? And that's when I started the podcast, my podcast, What's Your Line with Greta?
Yep.
And that's kind of where it started. I was like, okay, I'm doing things again. And then the dancing, seriously, was just like a natural progression because I go on this trip every year to Canada with a bunch of my girlfriends that I used to ride with back in the day, still do now. We go to Retallick Lodge in Canada.
Oh, sick.
And we rent out the whole place. Like it's 24 chicks, skiers, snowboarders, whatever. Doesn't matter. And we just have a blast, you know, riding powder. And then we also dance. And after that trip, my New Year's resolution was going to be, okay, I'm going to go, because I'm living up in the mountains in the Wasatch, up in Brighton. Like I live up in the canyon. So I'm pretty far away from the downtown scene. And I was like, I'm going to start going downtown like once a month and just find the club and go dancing, like with my husband or by myself, whatever it was. Cause it was like, I was missing that part of my life. Cause I was being, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I was just missing that little thing. And then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go downtown.
Yeah.
So I was like, what do I do? And my friend's like, Greta, just start a TikTok. I'll watch your videos. I'll like them. And you'll get it out. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I just did that just for like literally my friends. I had three friends on TikTok. I'm like, I'm going to make videos for you dancing in my bathroom. And you guys like, if you like this, whatever. And then I started putting on Instagram, which has been awesome. I think my first like my viral dance video was the WAP song that came out this last summer. Got 10,000 views. And I was like, oh, I got to do more of this. And I like it. I like listening to new music and I like learning new dances. And it just gives me that outlet. Of course, I'd rather be out at the club dancing with people.
Yeah.
But this is my way of doing that. That's why I'm doing it.
Isn't it such a weird place? Like TikTok is like its own world, it feels like. Like I don't understand it. I don't get it. Like I've put out a few TikToks for the podcast, like of gear stuff. But like it makes no sense to me. Like the algorithm's so weird and like it's so different than the other social platforms. Like
no one knows how it works.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, right. Yeah.
It's like, you'll see somebody have a video that has like a million views and then you'll see their next video have like, you know, 1,000. Like it's such a weird swing of things. And I just don't understand.
So I'm not doing TikTok for like the views.
Yeah.
I just do it because I actually like doing it. I think there's a lot of people on it that are super funny. Like when I go, I just like watching their videos and I just like giggle to myself. I think it's a really great comedy and dance, gear, whatever type
cooking,
of a place.
That's what I've gotten into. Is like I've become a better cook because of TikTok, I think. Like it's helped so much.
But it's definitely not like no one knows how to like monetize off it yet. Like it's still besides Charlie. Who's my inspiration? I think she's like 17 years old. If you guys don't know, it's like the coolest person on TikTok.
Yeah, she's got a bajillion followers or whatever the number is.
And I think they're gonna have a reality show soon too, her and her sister and the family.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That's crazy.
So anyways, it just gives as a skier, it just gives me for sure I do the dances too, but it's like it's mainly to get my ski videos out there. Mm-hmm. You talk about gear, whatever it is. It's like another platform.
Yeah. So your career, like you had a very successful competing career. What's different now? Like, how do you feel about your career in 2021 and what you're doing as a skier and as a podcast host? Because I think your value proposition to a brand is now very different than what you were doing even, I don't know, 10 years ago, something like that.
Right.
How's that different for you?
Well, I became a free skier. I actually quit ski racing. I was like a high level free skier or high level ski racer in Norway. I was on the Norwegian national team. I won the slalom national title. I won junior worlds and super G. Like I was racing against Lindsey Vonn, like all the big names, you know. I even beat her once in a slalom race.
That's awesome.
I think in Italy or something. I still remember like being in the lodge playing cards with her. I don't know if she knows me anymore, but I'd love to hang out with Lindsey if you're out there. But yeah, she was Lindsey Kildo back then.
Yeah.
But ski racing just wasn't me. I always like was drawn to the park, going up jumps, even like going down the course fast, like wasn't that cool to me. I wanted to make really cool turns. That was like my goal.
Yep.
I didn't care about like the time at the end.
Right.
So when I transitioned from ski racing to free skiing, it was more like just following my heart. Like this is what I want to do. Fast forward into my career, like I was a part of free skiing when I was the first woman to win the gold medal at the X Games. Like I was there with Sarah. I was there with Christy Leskinen, Marie Martinod, Virginie Favre, Jamie Sundberg. Like, she would do this huge flare. Super cool. Shout out Jamie. She was having a baby back then. We were like, oh my gosh, she's so old. Like, you know what I mean? I was like probably 16, 17. Yeah. I was like, no, you know, retrospect, I'm sorry. Yeah. She's probably like a teenager now and is like on her own already, which is awesome. But so anyways, in that era, like, it was all about having fun and just like, doing what felt right. We didn't ski for the fame or the money or anything. It was just because it's my passion.
Yeah.
So basically now in my ski career, it's the same thing. I'm finding that same passion that I had when I was 14, 15. And it's like, I'm just skiing because I love to ski. And that's like the bottom line.
Yeah.
And I like to hang out with people. And that's what I'm doing.
And it seems like you're pushing like your skills kind of more towards the backcountry stuff. Like, you're taking it more towards jumps in the backcountry and, I don't know, just skiing different stuff, it feels like, at least from what I've seen.
Yep. And that's what I love to do. I love building the jumps myself. Yep. I love going out there with a crew and like building something, creating. You know, it is kind of like an art form. I am not an artist. I do not know how to draw. I don't even know how to like design a website. Like, that's like how like limited I am. Barely like a PDF media deck. Super hard for me. But like skiing, I just get it with snow and like the trees and the jumps and like even I think transition jumping is really cool. So if like you can see like a landing and like how can you get from one spot to the other? I think that's really cool. That's where my mind like flows. So yeah, my skiing is all about just being unique.
Yep.
Being different. Not following the trends.
Yeah.
So like right now, I would say in skiing, the trends are Olympics.
Yep.
Slopestyle, half pipe, big air, double corks, triple corks, doing do, whatever it is. But like, you take one of those guys or gals out into the backcountry and they don't even know how to build a jump.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know how to explain. I'm not saying what they're doing is crazy wrong, but it's like, for me, it's just not the same. I don't get the same outlet or like, creativity from doing that. Say like, okay, now you got to ski. This is the run. These are the jumps. That's all you get. I'm always like, here's the course, but maybe I'm going to go over there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always out of bounds.
Yeah. What? I love the plug. What do you think about events like that are starting to happen? Like natural selection, like things like that. Is that more like what you'd like to see in competition?
So we had this event called Red Bull Cold Rush back in the day, which I won once.
That's awesome.
Amazing. And that's like me. So if Red Bull, if you ever want to make that contest again, I'd love to be a part of it because you just get the best skiers in the world. You just give them the terrain, you know, maybe a few shovels, and then you get to see some amazing skiing. Natural selection. Insane this year. I watched like every single stop.
Yeah.
I was so psyched too because the women were involved.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Like, Travis has been putting on this event for a long time and they've never gotten the call.
Yeah.
And this was like they just slayed it. Like, no, Robin Van Gin.
They
like,
killed it.
Just huge backflips. Even Zoe Zanot.
Yeah.
And she's like a park girl, you know, like coming into the scene again. It's amazing. It's amazing that if you give someone an opportunity to try something, what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Yeah. And that's another thing I wanted to talk to you about is like you're very good at pushing that. Like, you're making sure that girls get the same opportunity as guys. And that's something really important. It's something you can hang your hat on, I think, because it's especially now you're seeing that push more and more and more from all kinds of brands. But it's been a while. Like, people haven't always been on that bandwagon. And I feel like you have.
Yeah.
So that's a really cool thing to be a part of.
I think it was part of the beginning. You know, we were never, even the big airs at my home mountain in Hafjell, Norway, like, there was no women's division. You know, I had to compete against the guys. Yep. Maybe I won a t-shirt and I was psyched. Like, that was all I wanted. And just learning to ask for more. I think that's the big thing too. And just being like, okay, like, for example, X Games, ESPN, you know, why has there never been a women's real skier, women's real snowboard ever? Sure, they've had like, you know, they've invited one for like the year to compete against the men. Or they've had, they actually had this one thing where it was like five like different athletes from different sports, women competing against each other in a video contest.
Okay.
Like, I mean, they're kind of trying, but it's like, why not just like go all in? Like, just do it. Like, just.
Yeah.
So we've always been like just knocking on the door and just like, and every time if you win something, like when Sarah Burke and I, whatever, win anything, we just realized that was a chance for us to say something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because then you finally had the microphone, you finally had the camera on you. And that's when you would say, hey, next year, can we have big air? Hey, next year, can we do this? Can we do slope style? Like when I was competing at X Games, that first year I won the super pipe, we didn't even have slope style or big air. And I just won the slope style at the US Free Skiing Open the week prior. Like, it wasn't like we couldn't do it. They just didn't give us the chance.
Yeah.
So I think it's super important just to speak up. And that's another reason why I wanted to get involved with skiing again, was just to help teach the younger generation, like, just speak up.
I think people are so shy to ask for more too. Like, I think everybody's so excited about their first opportunity that they're willing to take less. They're willing to just kind of settle. Yep. And so many times I feel like that leads to people getting taken advantage of because the person in the other side of the conversation knows what they can give.
Right.
And
like, thank you so much, ESPN, for letting me compete in this demo.
Exactly. It's like thank you for allowing me to do this. Or but they're they need you as an athlete to be involved. Otherwise, they don't have anything.
Nope.
And I feel like you're starting to see a little bit of a shift in that with, especially in like other professional sports. It's like you're seeing the athletes like, I need to get paid and I need to get paid now. And it's hard because then you'll read comments and you're like, okay, like people are like, just play, like just do the sport. Like, but if you just play, like it never progresses anything. And I think that's really important to kind of point out, especially in the women's field where things are growing rapidly. And you got people like Taylor that are like absolutely fucking crushing it. Like they are killing and have every now they should have every opportunity to compete with whoever they want to compete with.
And they should be able to make a living.
Absolutely. I
mean, bottom line, like if you're the best in the world and you're, you know, representing all these brands, you should be able to make a living for yourself, you know, pay your bills. You should even be able to have money to put into savings, you know, like that's
that's like not a ridiculous thing to ask for. Like that's crazy that we even have to say it like that, because these athletes are putting so much work in. They're putting themselves at risk every single day. And it's like it's a source of entertainment, content. It's feeling connected with the sport that we all really love to do. And it just feels like we're begging for people to be paid correctly in an industry that can afford it, but is just, it's just not as open, I guess, as it might be in others.
Yeah, and now, you know, with social media, there's so much money in marketing. It's crazy. Absolutely. It's crazy. Like, we see they're just giving money away to people that can literally just dance in their bathroom.
Totally.
Like,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
So why is it so hard to actually give it to someone that's out there, you know, really selling the sport that you're trying to sell clothing for, whatever it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's nice. Like, skiing is starting to get a little more in terms of, like, the sponsorship dollars, like you're seeing, like the, I think it was Parker White had like a McDonald's ad, like in.
Oh no way! I missed
was
that
like,
one.
I think not like on TV or anything, but he was just doing a paid promo with them.
Right. Oh
right. And maybe it wasn't part. I'm sorry if it wasn't, but I think it was. Julian Carr is working with like the new Bronco launch. Like, there's so much stuff going on that's mainstream, and I think that's a step in the right direction. But there's just so much more I think that can be done, especially on the women's side of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of opportunity
and diversity too. Like, you know, girls of color, indigenous women, like girls, everything.
Totally.
There's just so many. There's so many people out there still that just never get to even go skiing, never get to play catch, like learn how to like play lacrosse, kick a soccer ball, whatever it is. Yeah. And it's just, that's actually why I got involved with the Women's Sports Foundation years ago. Was I was skiing at the half pipe at X Games, and this woman came up to me and she's like, hey, like, well, actually, Sarah Burke introduced me to this woman. She's like, I'm from the Women's Sports Foundation. I'm like, okay, cool. What's that? And it was like the super nerdy folder, you know, like women and this woman running. I'm like, okay, cool. I put it in my Dakine backpack at the time. I'm like, all right, whatever. And I reached back to them, and they invited me to this event out in New York City called the Salute to Women in Sports Dinner.
Yeah.
And I was just floored. I met like the first woman to race in an IndyCar race, Billie Jean King, Jessica Mendoza. Like, it was just like absolute, like mind blown. Annika Sorenstam, like just mind blown. And it was the exact same thing that we were just talking about a couple minutes ago. We were just saying like how everyone's just been knocking on that door.
Yeah.
Like ever since, you know.
Yeah. And that's huge. It's super. And you were president for a while.
The president,
like
yeah.
that's
oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
It's
insane.
That's such a crazy opportunity too. And I think that,
that's when I learned, you know, I'm a skier, you know, so lucky, grew up in Norway, got to move to Utah in 05 to go to the University of Utah, continue my ski career. And then I go to this event and I see these girls like from the Bronx or wherever they are, like some girls are like bust in, and I'm talking to them, and it's just such a different reality from my life, you know? And I've just been so sheltered, like especially in the ski industry where we were just given so much. And these girls, basically the rest of the world, they never get a chance to even try sports.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how can we change this? So
yeah,
with social media and whatnot, with companies getting involved, like just showing women, girls being active outside, like that's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
I think it's a step in the right direction. But I think like back to your point about getting more different types of people involved too, is like there's still, mm-hmm. even if the barrier is a little smaller to get into skiing than it used to be, it's still that perceived barrier that there's so much required and there's so much judgment and right. like you have to do the cool thing in order to like even go out and make some turns. Like there's no allowance for a learning curve, it feels like, and sometimes
generational too. Like my parents, they're skiers, so they brought me to the mountain.
Right.
There's a lot of kids here in West Valley that have never actually been up Big Cottonwood Canyon where I live.
Yeah.
In their entire lives.
That's insane.
And they've lived here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
there's no bus or anything. So it's working with, like, I actually started working with the Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation of like how do we get more kids that live in this valley up into the mountains,
yeah.
going off the ski jumps, going off the water ramps, doing moguls, skiing powder, whatever it is. How do we get mm-hmm. them up there?
How do we do that?
And then how do we keep them up there? You know, sure, yeah. one thing, but like how do you feel like welcomed? How do you feel,
yeah.
you know, you want to be where your friends are and it's hard to...
Totally. If you're the only person yeah. that looks like you out there, like yeah. I can tell you growing up, like my family is from the Middle East, mm-hmm. or my dad is from the Middle East. My mom is from here. So like, it's not exactly like where skiers are normally.
Right.
So, and growing up, like you're not, I mean, I'm the only Arab kid that's like going ski. Like it's very weird, you know, like it's yeah. a very weird feeling. It's a very weird sense of like, oh, like what do I do to feel included and to feel cool in this thing that I really like doing? And it's very like, it's awkward almost. Like it's, well, like you gotta figure it out.
I'm telling you, from a blonde white girl like growing up in Minnesota, even joining my ski team when I was 10 was hard because all yeah. the kids had all the cool stuff and I was like, oh hi, I like to ski, you know.
Yeah.
And I had everything, you know, else going for me, but like I can't even imagine. So it's, that's what I'm saying, like how can we help make it more welcoming, you know? How can we make yeah. it so everyone can enjoy it, because it's so amazing.
It's hard too, because you don't want to be the person that's singled out, like as like the token Arab guy, the token black guy, like whatever it is. You don't want to be that person. Gosh, that's right. like in that position either. So it's hard. Like I struggle with it all the time. Like I don't know how to, and this is coming from someone with some, you know, outside ethnic background, I guess. Like I have no idea how to be like, come do this, not just because you don't look like you should do this. You
yeah.
know, like how do you just get people out there and wanting to do it? That's the right. thing, is like people want to go play basketball because they can just go play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not this huge hurdle to get
yeah,
over.
Yeah, or maybe their dad or mom has like a basketball in the closet. You know,
totally.
it's
10 bucks, skiing, you get a basketball.
Sometimes like, oh, they maybe have never even seen a pair of skis before.
Totally.
Or ski boots.
Yeah.
So yeah. We have a lot to do, especially in this community. I know you're not from here, but like yeah. in Utah, like we have such amazing resources, from our deserts to our mountains,
yeah,
to
beautiful.
Our lakes. And like, how do we get kids out there more?
Yeah. It's funny. Like sometimes I feel, every time I come here, I feel like everybody that lives here doesn't know how good it is here, because like I was riding bikes yesterday and I was like posting on Instagram and somebody was like, oh, like I hate riding that place. That place sucks. And I'm like, you don't understand, like in Western Mass, we don't have views. Like that's not a thing. Like there's views, you like really, really have to fucking earn them and find them and search for them. Here it's just like, I'm not even trying, and there's some of the most beautiful views that I've ever seen. Like the weather's like, it's amazing. And that part of it's so weird too, is just how cool this area is. And I think sometimes when you live in a mountain area, you're, I don't know.
You get immune to it probably.
You take
yeah.
it, yeah, you take it for
granted.
Take it for granted, I guess. Mm-hmm. So what, talk to me a little bit about the podcast. What types of people are you having on the podcast? Who have you enjoyed talking to? Like, tell me a little bit about the show, because I think this is a time when there's so many people that have podcasts. There needs to be something that makes yours special.
Right.
Right. So what do you think that is?
Well, I started the podcast, What's Your Line with Greta. You can find it anywhere, Spotify, podcast, Apple podcast, whatever you want, mm-hmm. even on my website, whatsyourlinewithgreta.com. I started it because I love talking about skiing and watching mm-hmm. skiing and all sports really. And I really wanted to get into broadcasting, commentating mm-hmm. like ski events.
Awesome.
I still do.
Yeah.
Like, NBC, X Games, hit me up.
Yeah.
Like, I really, like, I just, I love watching.
I think you'd be great at it.
Yeah.
Like, your pacing of talking, I think, is very appropriate for that.
I'm coachable, too. Like, I can be taught to, like, talk differently as well. But I just love watching tricks. I actually got to commentate the U.S. Rev Tour last season up at Woodward, and there was, like, 250 skiers, like, 200 boys and, like, 50 girls, and I said every single trick on their way down.
No way.
And all these people were coming up. I'm like, Greta, how do you, or they didn't know who I was. Like, how do you know all these tricks? And I was like, well, I was actually there when Andreas Hotbite invented that rail trick. Like, I was like doing the session with him, whatever it was. And then that's when we named it.
Yeah.
But it was just a great way, the podcast, to get involved with skiing again. Because again, I took that break where I wanted to start a family, just try something different than my, you know, traditional jumping off cliffs, doing tricks, this and that. And also I was very large, being pregnant and stuff. I just couldn't do the same thing. And
yeah,
I wanted to get back into the community. And that's why I started the podcast. My first guest was Devin Logan.
Yep.
Olympic silver medalist from Sochi in slopestyle.
Yep.
And just like all around badass. Devin is so amazing. She's also from...
Yeah, she's based in my neck of the woods. She's
Long Island. Yeah. And then she moved up to Vermont with her mom later. And she's got the three brothers that are in the ski industry.
Yep.
Yeah. Just two older sisters too. Big family. But she's amazing. So yeah. She was my first guest. And I literally just wanted to be in a room talking to my friends again about skiing. And that was like the first episode.
Yeah.
I just asked her questions about how she got to where she was, how she won this Olympic medal. Like, what is she doing now? This and that. And then it kind of, what else? I just brought in guests. I still do. I bring in guests that I just am always like intrigued. Like, how did they get to where they are? Or why did they decide to do that instead of that? And that's kind of what I try to get out of them during my interview process, is just like figuring out kind of how they tick.
Yeah.
Nothing like, I don't go too in depth. Like, I try to keep it under an hour because, you know, no one has time for a 3-hour podcast, especially not a mom.
And they're like, not engaged if they do listen to the whole thing. It's not the same engagement.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I've brought on, Devin Logan, Maggie Voisin, Megan Duggan. She's Olympic ice hockey player.
Okay, cool.
And also new mom. So I was talking to her actually before she had her baby, just like, how is she going to keep playing hockey? What it was going to be like.
Yeah.
And we actually discussed how she helped the Women's National Hockey League. So Team USA Hockey, they create like a maternity clause.
Yeah.
So that was like also something in our action sports world that doesn't really exist, is like these maternity clauses where a woman can take time off and then like have a baby and then come back to her sport.
Yeah.
I think they're starting. It's like Burton has two clauses with snowboarders Kimi Fassani and Maria Thompson.
Yep.
Have you heard of them?
Yep.
So they're both moms, and they're both like full-time, I think, paid riders for Burton.
They're rippers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they, in their actual contract that they signed with that company, was like, okay, we'll ride for you for whatever, 3 years. Also, I can have this break to have this baby.
Yep.
So in back to hockey, you know, it was the same thing. It was like, how are we going to, are you still going to be on the national team after you have your baby?
Yeah.
So this writing, the jargon that they were able to put in the, I don't know the legal terms for it, but they were able to put in the contract saying you can have this period, I think it's like a year, to have a baby and then come back, and you'll still have your same ranking.
Yeah.
And all that kind
of
stuff.
How has that not been a thing? Like, well, that seems so obnoxious that was not a thing already.
And it happened too to Serena Williams, I don't know, the tennis player.
Yeah. Right?
So she had her baby and she went down in her rankings, you know, for tennis.
That's
so
had to play ridiculous.
Just because she had a baby.
That's so dumb.
So it's like these, no one's ever brought this stuff up. I mean, sure, people have tried, but no one listens. So now we're all just trying, like, hey, like, what's up? Yeah, we want
to. That's so insane that that's even a fight that has to be had.
Yeah. And it's not really a fight. It's actually just knowing to ask the question and who to ask and how to change it. And like, just literally writing it into the contract. Like,
yeah.
It just takes someone to do the work.
Yeah, and actually consider that ahead of time too, right? Like,
so we've talked quite a bit of that, like on my podcast about just being a mom. Jen Hudak too, like how she wanted to go right back, and I was like, "Girl, you're crazy. Like, this is gonna be so hard. I've got two little ones, and it's insane."
Yeah,
like, but she's like, "And she's actually killing it." So, way to go, Jen. And I'll also bring on people that are really doing cool things, like right now.
Yeah,
like I had Taylor on my podcast, which was so awesome.
That was great. I listened to that one this morning.
She is just such a special human, and what she's doing to skiing and to women's skiing is like just this breath of fresh air. Yeah. Like no one in the industry is doing what she's doing right now. And it's just so cool to watch her just be creative, you know, push it. And I went skiing with her one day at Woodward, and she's like, just first run, just 270 on this rail. I'm like, okay, I guess that's where we're at now.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing.
She's a savage, and like, she really is so good. And it seems like she's just so good at everything in action sports.
Skateboarding.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so cool.
So I just wanted to like amplify those voices too, because also in sports media, you know, women's stories don't get told.
Yeah.
You know, and also like our perspective too, like I had Dash Long on my podcast too. You probably don't even know who he is.
He's a realtor now, right?
Yeah, but he like started like free skiing. Like he created like the safety grabs and like sliding rails, you know, both ways, left and right.
Yeah.
Things like that were, I mean, back in the day there was only 10 of us doing it.
Right.
You know, but now it's like, you know, thousands, whatever. Right. But bringing him on and just talking to him about skiing, you know, like where no one's ever had that interview, especially not with a woman before.
Yeah.
And like how I knew all the tricks and like I knew all the styles and stuff. And so I'm just bringing kind of like a newer voice to it, or a voice that hasn't been spoken about the topic before.
Totally. And
that's
why
I started the podcast.
Your experience has brought a lot to the table in that too, because like you're as legit as it gets as a host. And I think you seem like a very confident person. And I think that's one of the things that I struggle with as an interviewer sometimes, is like, I don't know how the person in the other chair thinks of me, because I'm just some guy with a podcast that runs a ski shop and this is like my life, right? So it's very weird to be talking to the Chris Davenports of the world, the Yous of the world. Like it's insane, because you don't know, like that's the hurdle for me to get over sometimes personally, because I look at these people and I'm like, I talked to Simon Dumont last year later in the year last year. I have no idea. And I was like, I can't believe I'm talking to you. Cause that was,
he's been on Ellen.
Yeah, so like Ellen's been on, and that's what he was telling me. I was like, I talked to him beforehand and I was like, you know, like, do you need questions? Like, what do you need from me? He's like, bro, there's nothing you can throw at me that I've been, like, I've been on Ellen. And I'm like, first of all, that's a crazy thing to say out loud.
TRL too, that, you know, the old MTV music show.
Yeah. That's so nuts. But like to talk to these people it's very intimidating. So that's my struggle. What's your struggle as an interviewer? Because there has to be something. What's been the challenge hosting a podcast?
Number one, yes, I'm a very confident person. I don't know why. I have a lot of amazing people around me. My family is incredible. They just like, Greta, you're awesome. My dad like tells me I'm the most amazing person like every day. He's like, just sends me a text like, you're the best, Greta. Yeah. So like I have like a lot of words of affirmation growing up, which I think is super important to build confidence in kids. Just say like, that was amazing. You just climbed that tree. That's sick. Like you need to like say that. But back to interviewing people, for sure, I get nervous too. Yeah. I've spoken in front of like big crowds too before. And of course you get nervous right before, but like during it, it's just like the most amazing feeling. I love like right now having this conversation with you. I just love the feeling of it.
Yeah.
And same with like talking. But like before the interview, I get nervous because I have my questions and like I kind of want the conversation to go a certain way. Like I just kind of have this plan, even though it doesn't always go that way. So I'm like, I just want to make sure we get there. You know, I'm just like trying like to make that happen. But I try to just let it go once I'm there. But before, I have my questions.
Yeah.
Confidence I'm trying to think again like about this. How do I do it? You just got to feel it. And then sometimes, like, I feel like there's a guest that it's hard to get them to say what I want them to say. You know, I'm like, come on, like, you can do it. But then it doesn't really matter. Like, no one's even going to, like, pick that up. You're the only one that's going to know what the plan was for the episode, you know, because that's in your head. Where same with, like, when you're giving a speech or something in front of a class, they only, like, pick up, I think it's 70% body language.
Yeah.
And then 20%. Your voice level.
Yeah.
And then 10% of what you actually say.
Got it.
Do you see what I'm saying? So they don't even care.
Yeah.
And the person listening right now, like they'll never even know. And especially like in life, like you're thinking about it way more than that person you're interacting with is. That's what I'm trying to say is like for confidence, it's like, 70, 20, 10. It's crazy, but that's it.
Yeah.
So I used to do these like when I had like a communications class at the U, like just making these presentations where I didn't really say anything except like kind of like Donald Trump, you know, just like presentation, marketing, like let's go.
Yeah, no okay, actual everybody, substance.
Stand up, sit back down. All right, thank you so much. Where's my A? That was like it. You know, I mean, that's all you got to do. It's like, it's crazy, but it's, yeah, no substance.
Yeah.
But that's what's cool about podcasts too, because you can get deeper, which
you,
is nice.
You absolutely can. And I guess that's what I mean is like sometimes I want a conversation to go a certain way or I wonder if it's going to go a certain way. I kind of like plan it out and I'm not a very structured interviewer. Like I have no plan, I guess, for the questions I'm going to ask, but I kind of like will hope that it goes this way or that way. But I guess what I'm wondering is what is your process, like are you a big researcher, are you are you into that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Because everybody's different, right? Like I when I talk to Powell's like, yeah, like I do 8 hours of research and it's very detailed, and I'm just like like okay, cool, Mike, like that's I don't have the time for that, like I'm just gonna go in cold and we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah.
So what's your process like?
My process is first I gotta find the guest, right?
Yep.
And then I gotta reach out to him and be like, hey, you want to come on my podcast? Like that's like actually the hardest
part. Have you had any no's?
I have. Like a straight up no?
Yeah, not like they don't answer, because I feel like on Instagram, especially if you reach out, people don't see it sometimes.
I have three friends that have like friends.
Yeah.
Like that I want on my podcast that have like just whenever I write them a text or call them, they just like ignore it because they know I'm going to ask them.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, okay, all right, it's cool. But they're going through something. I get it. Like we're just not. But yeah, like legit like friends. Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're not going to do it.
Or just, yeah.
I'm or
like,
no
hey,
answer.
So I got the sponsor for this episode. Yeah, like you down? And like, nothing. Like.
Yeah.
So the first process is finding the guest, and then I usually know a lot about them because that's the reason I'm going to invite them on the show is I'm like intrigued. I'm like, I want to learn more about you. Then I go, I watch a bunch of videos again and just like try to get like the feel of the person. But I like, you get so much from social media now, like just looking at someone's page or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You just like can figure out what someone's doing very easily.
Yeah. And I think the reason I'm wondering about your process too, is because I have, sometimes there's guests that I really struggle with.
Yep.
Where I'm like, I'm fighting on up, like Sophia Schwartz, I will say, like, I love like your interview with her.
We both interviewed her. Yeah,
was
exactly.
Was way better than my interview with her. Like you were clear, concise. You asked better questions, I think. And the conversation went better. And not that it went bad with me. I'd like, she's unbelievably kind. She has been nothing but not, and I don't mean that as a slight to her. It was 100% on me. I felt like I couldn't get the conversation rolling.
Right.
Versus when I heard yours, I felt like it just flowed perfectly.
Yeah.
So
chatty. Yeah.
What's
it was great.
Yeah, exactly. Versus like, I felt like I was pulling stuff out of her. So how do you do it? I guess.
I think for her and I, that was a unique one too, because we have so much in common.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know who she was until last year. I just saw a picture of her online. A friend of mine reposted her like double cork on the airbag at the UOP.
Yep.
And I was like, whoa, who is this person doing this trick? Like,
yeah.
I need to find this out. Like, you can't just do this and like not know who you are. So yeah, that's when I like looked her up. I was just so impressed. And to get ready for the interview, I just asked her, no, I didn't even ask her questions before. I just went online and found like her videos.
Yeah.
And then I like kind of asked her questions about like how she did the double backflip.
Yeah.
Why did she switch from, you know, mogul skiing to what she's doing now, which is like adventure free skiing stuff. Like how, I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
And I was just really impressed with how she was doing all these like big gap jumps and stuff. And I was like.
And she's so well rounded.
Yeah. And she just posted a video of her doing pyramid.
Yep.
I don't know if you saw, but she's doing a big backflip. Didn't make it. Not enough speed. And we would just talk like the day before.
Yeah.
So we were just talking about things that like I, again, was genuinely interested in. Like, how do you learn how to do a double backflip? How are you getting paid to do what you're doing right now? Like stuff like that. That's kind of how I go.
Yeah.
I just want to know.
Yeah. That's a weird thing to have conversations about too, is getting paid. Like that's a thing I feel like isn't talked enough about in the ski industry, is like how athletes get paid, what the process is like, how do you even ask for money?
I was just thinking about this because, you know, there's such a equity disparity for
men
and women in America, in the world, but especially in America. Like I forget what it is, but it's like every dollar that you make, I make like 80 cents, you know, whatever it is. And there was this like code of conduct, like in the beginning, like you don't talk about, especially businessmen, right? You don't talk about how much you make.
Yeah.
Especially the family, or families don't talk to other families about how much they make. And,
yeah.
And I was thinking about that. And I was like, I wonder why they started that. And I'm pretty sure it's so the women never knew what to ask for.
Yeah. And so for the person who's not the guy that's going to ask, or the girl that's just going to ask for more, they don't want more. Because it's like, if you know the guy down the street that's doing the same job or lesser of a job is making more money than you, why wouldn't you go and get more money?
And what's crazy is these men, I mean, sorry, bring it back to the guys, but I've been watching this show called Bridgerton, but they go to like these clubs, you know, where they just hang out and drink and smoke. And then they talk about their conquests and like how much money they make and this and that.
Yeah.
But it happens in those clubs. So then the women or people that were not part of those clubs never got to know these numbers. So, back in the day when I started becoming a professional skier, I was actually on Oakley with Christy Leskinen, and she was like the top skier at the time and getting paid the most as a woman from Oakley. And she just straight up told me the numbers she was getting paid. And then that's how I knew what to ask for. And then I would talk to the other girls on the tour, and you have to communicate.
Yeah.
That's where it was. It was starting that.
Yeah.
That communication. Of what
I feel like it's still not good enough.
Well, yeah, because we still don't know what the men make. So it's like, it's still hard to like, now the women are talking, but we still don't know what the.
And everybody doesn't feel that they need to share, right? So like the guy that gets the good contract doesn't necessarily feel the need to tell you, because then everybody's eyeing his money.
Yep.
And it shouldn't be like that. There's enough money out there for everyone.
Right.
But it's just, and I'm not saying every company needs to give every person the same money, right? Like, that's not what I'm saying at all. And I don't want that to be confused, because I say this a lot. And I think sometimes people will like clap back at me and be like, hey, like they got to earn the money, bro. Like, it's not about earning the money. It's like, you just have to know what to start with, because if you don't even know, and I can tell you being a podcaster, it's extremely hard to be like, what's the standard for the ski? And I credit people like Powell and Mark Warner at Low Pressure. Like, those are my friends. And like, they have been honest with me about what they make and how they go about making that money.
Right.
And I think that's huge. But in the beginning, I was like, I don't know, give me $50. Like, give me some hats and stuff. Like, I had no idea. Like, the first 10 episodes I did, I was like, I don't know what anything's worth. I got like, you know, there's 10 people listening in the beginning. I have no clue.
Right. And it's okay to be humble when you're starting something. I get it. But then, but once you establish something, which you have, like over 150 episodes plus.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know what your listeners are, but like, I'm sure it's like through the roof.
It's good now, but like, it's interesting because I guess people just don't want to have that conversation in skiing enough, you know, and what everybody brings to the table is so different. It is hard to have a blanket conversation about it. And
well, it goes back to what you said in the beginning. We're just thankful to be here.
Right.
We're just thankful to have a podcast.
And that shouldn't be,
we're doing work, and it's like,
totally.
You should be paid for it.
It's 100% what should be going on, but it's, I don't know.
Yeah. I think going forward though, thinking about it, what we can do is, I think, creating like some sort of like a value like line or chart, like where there should be some like information we should be able to go and find and be like, okay, this is where it's at. Because that's what agents do. They just talk amongst each other, and then that's how they know the value.
Yeah. And you can't, it's not like you can like Google it. You can't Google like what Simon made last year on his show or as an athlete.
No.
You have no idea.
Well, there was this one article that came out a long time ago in the ESPN magazine, and it said he made like $800 to $1 million.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Like, good for him. But, like, that's a lot of money.
But, I mean, if you're thinking about, like, Sarah Burke or myself, I mean, maybe, yes, we were not getting the same amount of media coverage because these companies were not writing stories or filming us. But we're nothing compared to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, that's insane. And maybe Simon's a bad example, too, because, like, that is Simon. He's kind of a unique character across the board.
But he was the best at that time in the sport as a male.
Totally.
Where you take the best females and they're not even making like a fraction
of that. Yeah, that part's absolutely ridiculous. Like, it needs, and
like, what's up with that?
Part of the reason is like, they're not getting the same press. They're not getting the same. Like,
we didn't even have the contest to compete in. We didn't have like the slope
style. The opportunity's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's getting better, I think, but it's not getting better quick enough.
No.
So.
Yep.
Hopefully.
But more of this, like creating your own media outlet, like a podcast. Like,
totally.
You're getting the stories out.
Absolutely. And I think that, like, for you, that's huge. Like, you're giving the opportunity to so many people. And I think that's really, really cool.
And that's what I want to do. I actually feel like just so blessed, again, to be a skier, to be healthy. I actually won this contest years ago called the if Euler was a girl up in Whistler, and I won $25,000 Canadian, like the biggest check I'd ever seen in my entire life. And I, even before the contest, I'm like, I don't know, like, that's just crazy. They're giving away $25,000. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, that's insane.
Yeah.
And I go and I actually win it. And I was just like so humbled and just like, again, I was probably 20 years old and I just could not believe how amazing my life was. And I ended up giving it all away. Like to the Women's Sports Foundation and the Stand Strong Again, which is like a similar spinal cord injury, helping athletes get back and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's no longer this nonprofit, but it's, it was just like, I just felt so blessed. And I was like,
That's amazing.
How do I give back? So this is my way of giving back too.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm giving back. It's just, I like giving back. It feels good. It's fun. Yeah. I get to interact with really cool people.
Yeah.
I get to make a difference. That's why I do it.
Yeah. And I feel like sometimes people, because I say that a lot too, where like, I feel like I want to, like, this is a thing I want to do for other people because like, it's not about me. Like I'm the interviewer. It's always about the guest. It's the person in the guest chair. And I think that's really important. And I, sometimes when I say it, I feel like it sounds pretentious, but it's really like when you give a gift and somebody's so stoked to get that gift, you love that feeling more than getting the gift and being like, how do I accept this gift? Like that's kind of what this is sometimes, you know? So What are you doing next? I hate asking this question because it's weird and nobody ever knows what's next, but what's next for the podcast for you? What are your goals like? What's next for you as Greta?
Yep. So I'm competing in the West Coast Triple Plank Contest, which is a contest started by my friend and snowboarder Marie-Francois out of Vancouver Island. Yep. So she does this contest where it's snowboarding, skateboarding and surfing, triple plank, but she's allowing skiers too because we have two planks, right?
Yep.
So I'm going to do like this. I'm making this edit for that and I'm trying to figure out what song to have on that. That's basically what I'm doing. I have all this footage from this season, so I'm going to like condense it into 1 minute and submit it to that
event. Oh, you were looking for a song yesterday, right? Like I saw that. Okay. Yep.
Which is super hard. I don't know. Do you have any advice about how to find songs?
That sounds so daunting.
I don't want to like do like a whole, because I want to like make like a really cool edit and I, you know, want the right song, but I don't want like YouTube to take away the song and be like, oh, did all this work for nothing. Yeah. So I'm just trying to figure out the best way to do that.
The only thing I've never used an actual song. I've used like, because you can use sites like Artlist, I think it's called, like Artlist. Basically audio that you can buy for like 99 cents or a dollar, but it's like, it's not the stuff you really want. It's not like popular music. Like I know you were looking for like rap.
Sweetie.
Like, yeah exactly. Cat, that, like, yeah. Like I can't even imagine like if you're to like go through the correct channels, like how much they'd want to run something like that. And it's a lot of times it doesn't make sense, but somehow like some people have it. So I'm just the wrong person.
I think they just haven't been caught. I think maybe. That's like, or it just hadn't like,
yeah, maybe. Up, you know what I mean? Honestly though, like if it works out and you use a Saweetie song that's like sick and it lines up and it kills, I think the risk is worth it there. But
it could be like, maybe it could be up for like,
professional athlete,
I could win the contest with it. Like that's like kind of the goal.
Yeah.
But okay. So I'm doing that contest. I'm, actually going to take a little summer break because the snow is melting here. I went skiing just 2 days ago up at Brighton. I hiked up there. It was awesome.
Sick.
115 days.
That's so insane.
Never done it.
Good for you.
And then I'm going to start working on like next year's plans, like start getting some, like basically this is the time where I like send out all like my sponsorship proposals and stuff and just try to like reach out to different companies because I want to do a lot of stuff next year. Like make an edit. I'd love it if ESPN would create like a women's real ski. That'd be so sick to compete in something like that. That's basically it. Just planning, just making what is the Greta brand and then pushing it out right now.
And you're a big planner. You're a, you like the organization of it. And
I'm a Virgo.
Yeah.
If you knew that and just,
I just learned about what signs were even at all. Like from, I had Gianna Andrews on the show a few weeks ago and I had no clue. And she's like explaining tarot cards to me and signs and so many things that I had no idea even exist. Like I've heard people like, oh, I'm a Capricorn. Like I had no clue what any of that meant.
I got really into like looking for mushrooms too last summer. Cool. So that's, I'm really excited to get back to Minnesota. I have my book and like actually start eating some of them. There's like a bunch of like lobster mushrooms, morels are kind of coming out right now.
Yeah. It,
like I just love being a part of nature and just doing that. So getting kind of start a garden.
Awesome.
Yeah. Stuff like water skiing. So now that snow skiing's done, I'm going to get into water skiing season. And that's my mom and I go pretty hard behind the boat.
Sick. That's awesome. Well, this has been great, Greta. Thank you. What where can people find you on social media? Where can people find your podcast? Once again, the name and anything else you want to plug, feel free.
You can find me on Instagram. My name is at Greta, GRETE.ski, Greta like feta. And then my podcast is on whatsyourline.com. Whatsyourlinewithgreta.com. I always forget that. What's Your Line with Greta?
And it's available on Spotify and iTunes, yep, or Apple Podcasts, yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And then you also can find me on TikTok too.
Heck yeah.
Greta.ski. And it's a little more, so sometimes I put like some polished stuff on Instagram, and TikTok's a little more raw. So if that's what you want, check it out.
I think it should be. TikTok is, it's the Wild West, and everybody should be exploring it a little bit.
Thank you, Adam, so much for having me on your
podcast.
Of course. Appreciate it. Like, I'm back. Yeah. I appreciate it.
This is awesome. All right. Thanks, guys.
That was our episode with Greta Eliason. I hope you guys enjoy it. Be sure to follow Greta on Instagram. It is just greta.ski, and that is GRETE.ski, to follow all the fun things that Greta does. She is, she's killing it. Oh yeah. And also, What's Your Line with Greta? Be sure to check out What's Your Line with Greta, her podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the whole nine. She's a really, really good interview. I meant that when I said it. So I hope you guys enjoy. Talk soon. Bye.